Okay, now we have a quorum, so I'll call the meeting to order. Please rise for the flag salute. Vice Chair, you get to do
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'm just looking at that picture. I'm wearing the exact same clothes. Okay, can we have a roll call? Is Laura up here?
Yes, I am.
Oh, thank you, Laura. Can we have a roll call, please, Laura?
Yes, Director Sesenya. Director Fourcroy.
Here.
Director Gatchell. Vice President Womack.
Present.
President Ohilski.
Present. Okay, with that being said, then we'll move on to item number two on the agenda. We'll start with first with item 2A, which is the fire department report.
All right, good evening.
Good evening.
Well, fire department report. Well, looks like everybody did a good job with fire prevention month in October because we had no fires this last month. So that's a good thing. No significant calls to report for the month of November. For projects and stuff that we had for the month, we completed live fire training at South County Drill Grounds. We had two rotations that went through there, and we're burning some Class A combustibles and putting some of our new folks through the paces and polishing up on their skills. So that was pretty successful. We participated, some of our personnel, some of our reserve firefighters, and then Captain Moriarty, he's one of the instructors, participated in the surf rescue operations course. And they were all of our folks that we sent through were successful in passing, which is probably the most physically demanding class that Cal Fire offers here in the local area. So pretty proud of those guys for making it through there. They had some pretty good conditions. We had a local Girl Scout troop come through, and they got their fire safety badges, and they learned how to use fire extinguishers. And we did a little live firework demonstration for them. They got to put out some propane fires. Okay. So good. This is actually the second year that we've done that, and so pretty fun to have them out. We're still collecting food for Season of Hope and Operation Santa Claus. And so if you've got any toys or anything, go ahead and feel free to bring by the fire station. And we've got the barrels out front. If you've got something that you feel like needs to be locked up, just knock on the door and the station personnel will open up and try to get in. And we try to bring the stuff in every night so it doesn't grow legs and walk away. But we've been real successful. The community's been great bringing out stuff. I think we're filling up the barrels every single day. So we're constantly calling for pickups. So that's really awesome. One thing that I missed on here with the time change, we always like to encourage everybody to change the batteries in their smoke detectors. It's, usually every 6 months, it's good to change the batteries in your smoke detector. That way it doesn't go off at 3 o'clock in the morning and let you know that it's got a low battery. Also, it gets you out of the house if you need to. As far as Cal Fire San Luis Obispo, we held a meeting with U.S. and Fish and Wildlife. Myself and director and manager Munns, we went out there in lot 41. We're finally getting some progress with U.S. Fish and Wildlife and Fire Safe Council giving us a grant to go ahead and mitigate some of the fire hazards out there with the eucalyptus trees at lot 41. It's been a long-standing question from the public out there. The local residents there have been pretty concerned. So we're finally getting some movement with some of the relaxations on the restrictions for working in that area. We're going to be able to do some good work in there, hopefully in the near future. We just got to make sure the timing with the rain and the birds and all that stuff is just right. And we get the right contractors in there. Right now, the last bit is U.S. Fish and Wildlife helping us with some paths for ingress and egress out there so we limit take of any snails. So that should be a good project there. I met with the Monarch Homeowners Association regarding the Monarch Grove. They've got some concerns with some fuels mitigations out there. We've got some meetings set up with U.S. Fish and Wildlife, Art, the Cal Fire forester and environmental scientist to go out there and start looking at a project. Looks like the three C's have done some work in there in the past, but we're confident that we can go in there with some money with Fire Safe Council and then our hand crews and do some pretty solid work and get that grove cleaned up and make sure that the trees are healthy and the butterflies have a good spot to go. And then on the state front, the state and the Cal Fire Labor Group signed a two-year agreement. They enacted the 66-hour work week. Essentially, that drops us our work month from 12 days to 11 days. And then there'll be a 2.5% general salary increase next year. So it'll be a little bit of increased cost to the district. Administration's getting cost estimates, but we factored some of that into the budget for this year. So the rest of the cost estimates are still to come in. Go to the statistical report. So like I said, no fires. We had some dumpster fires and false alarms and kitchen fires and that type of stuff, but no vegetation fires that were reported, no vehicle fires and no structure fires. Medical is pretty steady on there. Bulk of our calls, 154 for the squad, and then the reserve engine and the frontline engine split 76 and 77. The reason why you see the three numbers there is we had the reserve engine in service for a couple of weeks, just getting some routine maintenance done on the frontline. CPR calls to law enforcement assist. We didn't have any. We had 10 vehicle accidents in the area. 23 hazardous calls, 31 public assists, no rescues, and one call classified as other. Responses to 9I, we had 10 responses into 9I. We had zero into MDO. Year to date, we're at 62 into 9I and 30 into MDO. Aid given to other agencies. So we went out to help Morro Bay once, and then we were in the county area 14 times. That 9I area will count as helping the county engines, this county statistic. So that'll count into that. We helped Morro Bay once. The five cities, that's an anomaly. What happens is the dispatcher will put the call in, and sometimes they select the wrong resource, but it'll still tally in to the statistical report. So that shows up. So Cambria, Morro Bay, Pismo is an anomaly. 75 times we've gone to the county, and then we've got Cal Fire SLU, which is the Cal Fire portion of it, 18 times for the year, and then San Luis Obispo, we've gone in and helped them once, which is another error. Other agency aid to us, the county came in to help us three times, the state came in to help us four, looks like CMC came in to help us one, Morro Bay 11. The OES one, these are year-to-date numbers. The OES one was back when we were having the storms. And then Pismo, that'll be one of our rescue calls. The county's come in 46 times. City of San Luis has come in 7 times. The state's come in 39 times. And Templeton came in twice, and that was also during the storms back in January. Year-to-date for calls. Last month, I got saved by the bell and got to run out the door, but we had 140 calls. Back in October, and then for November, we had 135. So we're staying right along our average. We're a little bit up, but we're right on pace for what we normally run. So looking pretty good. Any questions?
Yeah, Chuck.
Where's Lot 41?
So Lot 41 is up by the retention basin, up in that area. Okay. Yep, just that big stand of eucalyptus trees right by it.
And it's our property.
Thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. Very good. All right. Well,
thank you
evening.
Very much. Can I ask you a quick question?
Absolutely.
I'm acting as the Chamber of Commerce person right now. But do you have some portable stop signs we can use?
I'm sure we could dig something up. How much you need? Just like the handheld ones?
Yeah.
How many?
Four.
And where do you need them delivered to?
Oh, I can pick them up.
Okay. All right. Yeah, might take me a couple days to get them together, but when do you need them by?
Saturday.
This Saturday? Is the parade this Saturday?
No, our tree lighting is this Saturday.
Okay. All right. I'll expedite. I'll see what I can find you.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
Just get in touch with me and let me know.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Exactly. That's the advantage of living in Los Osos. Okay. So... that item being done, then we have a sheriff department report.
Yes, they're online.
Oh, they are here? Okay.
Hey, everybody. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
All right. Sergeant Coy's here, Sheriff's Office, Coast Station in Los Osos. So I'll just go through the numbers from this last month in November. We had, looks like a drop in calls compared to the same month last year. We had 55 calls in Los Osos area and 69 the year prior. So a little drop there. We had 2 assault or battery calls, 31 general disturbance calls, only 1 burglary report, 4 theft reports, 6 vandalisms, 0 mail thefts, 2 phone scams that would have resulted in some type of loss, 15 suspicious circumstances, which could be a number of different things, 90 proactive enforcement stops, could be bicycles, pedestrians, or just vehicle traffic stops. And then 30 preventative patrol activities, which could just be extra patrols, you know, of certain areas and things of that nature. That's all I got. I will likely, this will be my last meeting. I'm transferring to a different division in January. It's been a pleasure working, serving Coastal Division and working in Los Osos. I'll truly miss it. And yeah, so if anyone has any questions, I'm open to answer anything.
Thank you for your service. Any questions? No, that's it. Well, thank you for your service. Good luck in your new position.
Thank you very much.
All right. With that, then we'll move on to 2C, the California Highway Patrol report.
They're online as well.
Online, Laura?
Yes, Lieutenant, you just have to unmute yourself. I see your camera's already unmuted.
Stop. There we go. I guess we got to do both of them at the same time. So, good evening, everybody. Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving. Our report for this month is we had a total of 9 crashes that we investigated out in the area. 6 of them were non-injury crashes. 2 of them were a minor injury. 1 of them was a vehicle versus a bike. And then we did have 1 DUI-related crash, which was a bicyclist was the DUI driver off that one. So, and that was also a minor injury collision. So nothing of major consequence out there in Los Osos, and it's doing pretty well out there. Any questions for me?
Any questions? Nope, seeing none. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, guys. You have a Merry Christmas.
Okay. So do we have any public comments on the public safety reports?
If you're online, please raise your hand. There's none online.
We have none in the boardroom either. Okay, with that being said, we'll move on to item 3, special presentation. Who am I turning that over? Because I can't deal with
Vice President.
No. So am I just reading it, or yes, do you want to do a preamble or anything?
No, go ahead. I think we all have an opportunity to thank both Troy. In fact, before you get started, Lori, why don't you read Troy's email statement he wanted us to say
Of course. So this is what Troy wrote. He said, "Sorry, I was unable to attend tonight due to a business trip. These last 4 years, I've learned a lot about local government and everything the CSD is doing for the community. We are extremely lucky to have Ron as our general manager. It was a pleasure working with this amazing board. Thank you to Marshall for his many years of service to the CSD. Thank you to the community for your input over the years. I'm excited for the direction of the CSD and the new board members. Wishing you all the best in the new year."
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah.
So thank you, Laura.
We could probably skip reading Troy's, but let's go ahead.
I was going to read his first.
Okay, go ahead if you
to.
Want to. Okay. Again.
He's freezing in Toronto right now.
He's freezing in Toronto. He can't say it's snowing there.
Yeah, no thanks. So we just wanted to express our appreciation to the board members that have served and are not serving the next term. Ron made up and Laura made up some proclamations, so I'll read them out loud. A proclamation of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors commending Troy Gatchell for his service to Los Osos. Whereas Troy Gatchell was appointed to the Los Osos Board of Directors in 2020 for a 4-year term. He was elected, right?
No election that year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Whereas Troy Gatchell served as a vice president and chairperson on the Emergency Services Action Committee. Whereas Troy Gatchell exemplifies the best qualities of an elected public official, bringing a balanced perspective to the decision-making process that included honesty, integrity, fairness, and a deep caring for his community. Whereas Troy Gatchell served on the Los Osos CSD board with distinction, always voting for the greater public good in spite of significant challenges. Whereas Troy Gatchell deserves recognition for the tremendous amount of energy and commitment that he has given and continues to give to the community of Los Osos. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Troy Gatchell is commended for his efforts and accomplishments on behalf of the community of Los Osos, and further, be it proclaimed that Troy Gatchell is wished the best of health, happiness, and success in his future endeavors, dated this 5th of December, 2024. So that is all signed by the board. A proclamation.
Before you go on, does anybody have any comments they'd like to make to Troy?
Well,
I appreciate all of his hard work. I'll probably find a time to see him and say it to his face. But,
That's fine. I just wanted to see if anybody had anything they wanted to say.
But I think it's, you know, a good example of how this board is just normal people in the community that take time out of their busy schedules to be part of the process and how important that is.
And to everyone listening, you could get one of these proclamations too. You just
thank you, John.
Run for office.
Yeah, no, I was going to say the same thing, that I'm going to run into him and talk to him in person. But I think what you just said is important, that just the people off the street can come in here and serve their community. You don't have to be, you know, a higher level. It's just the community that's represented here. So, okay, we'll move on.
Okay.
I'm going to be quiet now.
I'll also thank Troy Gatchell for his service. And okay. And then the next one is a proclamation of the Los Osos Community Services District Board of Directors commending Marshall E. Ohilski for his service to Los Osos. Whereas Marshall Ohilski was elected to his first four-year term by the voters of Los Osos in 2008 and re-elected in 2012, 2016, and 2020. Whereas during Marshall Ohilski's tenure, he is appointed to serve president of the board for 6 years of his 16-year tenure, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2016, 2019, and 2024, served as the chairperson and vice chairperson of the Financial Advisory Committee, served as the chairperson and vice chairperson of the Emergency Services Advisory Committee, served on numerous ad hoc committees for the district, including reviewing and updating the district bylaws annually, and made significant contributions to the district strategic decision making. Whereas during Marshall Ohilski's tenure, he was the original chairperson and representative of the district to the Basin Management Committee from 2015 to 2023, special district representative of the Local Agency Formation Commission, LAFCO, for 12 years, served as president for the SLO County chapter of the California Special Districts Association, CSDA, served as district representative on the Morro Bay National Estuary Program, MBNEP, served on the board of the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce, contributed to numerous regional initiatives that supported the economic growth of the community, and whereas Marshall Ohilski exemplifies the best qualities of an elected public official, bringing a balanced perspective to the decision-making process that includes honesty, integrity, fairness, and deep caring for his community. And whereas Marshall Ohilski played a crucial role in steering the district through the bankruptcy process and guiding the district through the myriad of challenges which resulted in the district's current financial and organizational successes. And whereas Marshall Ohilski served on the Los Osos CSD Board of Directors with distinction, always voting for the greater public good. And whereas Marshall Ohilski deserves recognition for the tremendous amount of energy and commitment he has given and continues to give to the community of Los Osos. Now thereby be it resolved that Marshall Ohilski is commended for his efforts and accomplishments on behalf of the community of Los Osos. Further, be it proclaimed that Marshall Ohilski is wished the best of health, happiness, and success in all his future endeavors, dated 5th of December, 2024.
I just want to express my gratitude. As a resident of Los Osos, for all of the time and effort that you've spent, volunteered really, to better the community and make sure that that it's going to continue to be the great place that it is today. And as a board member, it's been a honor to serve with you. You taught me a lot about how to represent your community, and your experience is invaluable. And I'm sure you're going to still receive some phone calls about certain situations. So I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Aside from the obvious, who's going to be updating bylaws and giving Brown Act training? I mean, we're going to have to train some people.
Oh, Marshall says he'll still do our Brown Act training.
That's a relief. Listening to all the committees and things that you served on and boards and things, I mean, that's several meetings a day. You couldn't have worked for anyone at that time. You had to be self-employed because no one would have kept you around with that much of an activity outside of work. The community certainly took advantage of that commitment, and we appreciate all the years. That's a lot of years. You have seen from the lows to the highs with the district, and I appreciate the time that you put in. And we've got some roles to figure out, holes to fill. But thank you for your service.
So I've always felt supported by you. I think you appointed me, you and I did an ad hoc committee to refinance the bonds, and it kind of made me realize that we had another bond and that I could do stuff for our finances. And you brought Ron Munns here. I feel like you have really helped get the CSD in great shape. You deserve much credit for that. And yeah, I appreciate your service, and thank you.
If I can just say a quick word, I am appreciative when Marshall came knocking at my door, seeing if I'd be interested in this job, and you saved me from the county and brought me home. And grateful for that, grateful for the times, you know, hours we have spent talking over the last 5.5 years to move the district forward like we have, with your leadership and the experience that you've brought and commitment you've shown me, you know, even made my commitment even stronger. So I really appreciate you, Marshall, and we'll miss you.
All right, I think I turn it back to you.
Can you get a picture of
Oh, sure.
Well, just around view, just a view.
Yeah, just in front of the table.
Okay.
No, of all of us.
Oh, okay.
Just said, further be it proclaimed, further be it. That's
Laura and I had a hard time keeping it to one page, Marshall.
A lot of service. I'm not going to be looking for any typos.
I found one.
Hear that, Laura?
That's not in there any longer. I knew you would zero in on it.
What's the E stand for?
Excellent.
No. That's your middle name.
Good comeback.
Eugene.
Okay.
Before we move to the next one, can I take public comment?
Yes, let's take public comments.
Perfect. If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. I have one online. Lynette, you just have to unmute yourself.
Marshall, I don't even know where to start. Thank you so much for everything you've done. It's been so many years. I think back to when you first started. I remember when you were running, and during the HE double hockey stick years, I will say, because they were really tough and you stuck it out. And all the other meetings you've been to too. I mean, I'm glad you report on them. I'm glad somebody knows what they're talking about when they report on them. And I really just can't say enough thanks. It's been so many years. So, you know, I'll just continue to run into you around town and tell you thanks again. And also, I do want to say thank you to David Gatchell for helping out too. It's really nice when people from the community step up. I mean, Marshall, you're kind of like a fixture, but it's nice when people who aren't a fixture and all the other things, they show up and do the work. And so thanks to both of you, and see you around town.
Thank you, Lynette. I'll run into you at Ralph's. I know that. We do that all the time. That wasn't a paid advertisement either.
There's no further online comment.
Did you put this in that?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for all of the work that they've done and working together. First starting out in a bankruptcy and then on the Basin Management Committee, and basically back in those days, saving the district from going down in the hole, which could not be recovered from. But I just enjoy serving the community. My daughters have made fun of me saying I'm addicted to public service, but that's probably true. But I enjoy working for the community, and I look forward to continuing to work with everybody. And I look forward to the community continuing to participate in the local government. So thank you. I should go run around the block, take a few deep breaths. But okay, with that then, we'll move on to, With that then, we'll move on to item four, general action items. The first one is 4A, to adopt resolution 2024-21, amending the district's financial reserve policies. The recommendation from staff is adoption of resolution number 2024-21. Mr. Munns?
Well, that's a hard item to follow with kind of a boring but important policy amendments that we were proposing here. Just go back a little bit. Our original policies, reserve policies, were adopted way back in 2006, just before Marshall, amended in 2007, then again in 2012, where there's some significant changes and under the policies we've been working under for the years since I've been here. We did notice a little bit of a conflict between a 2016 and 2017 amendments to the 2012, but at the November 7th board meeting, we decided, the board agreed that we should use the 2012 policies as a template, and that's how we moved forward. So from there, I wasn't going to go through the full presentation like I did on November 7th. I'd just run through some of the highlights of what we're proposing tonight. There, in the agenda packet, there was the redline version from the November 7th meeting and the staff report, which went into more detail. But in the high level overview, under Fund 100 administration, the general contingency fund was consolidated. There was two funds identified in the 2012 policy, but we consolidated the general contingency and established a maximum funding goal of $50,000. In Fund 301 fire, we increased, under the vehicle and equipment replacement, we increased the funding baseline to $130,000, which was what we agreed back when we were doing the budget documents, and just added some clarifying language in that. Under capital clarified language, and especially on allocating surplus fund balance to capital outlays so we could build that fund up to the level that was recommended. Then general contingency reserve, it was just a quick deleting of some language that was referencing O&M budget, which we decided to do that because the O&M budget changes every year. So it was a moving target. So we wanted to make it easier for staff to update that. Under water rate stabilization, we just deleted some dated language. No big change there. General contingency, memorializing the minimum annual contribution, which came out of actually from the 2017 amendment to the policy for that $57,000 we always budget for now. Capital outlay, we added added language to provide more flexibility to the board to establish the funding goal. It was based on our water rate analysis, and when we were establishing rates, we would have funding goals that would go up or down. and so we wanted to keep that flexibility.
That was a quick response.
Yeah. Helps to know people, right?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very, very much.
So anyway, the capital outlay, it just makes it easier for the board to have better control over the funding goal for that, which is a very important reserve. Then we had three reserves that we recommended for elimination, and I'll talk about those more in just a minute here. Moving on to solid waste, we established a $200,000 funding goal. It was $300,000 and added some language on how that could, once we reached that goal, could be used, my extra fund balance could be used to help our customers' bills. So just want to touch back on the elimination of the policies. This is because we do have to take a separate action on that tonight, and we need a 4/5 vote according to our existing policies to eliminate any reserves. So with the recommendation of the water quality, the water conservation, and the basin management reserves, there was consensus to move forward to eliminating these reserves. If approved, the staff will return to the board with recommendations on how to move those reserves to different reserves within Fund 500. So with that, there was two motions in the staff report. One was to eliminate the reserves, and the other was to adopt the resolution that amended the reserve policies. And with that, I can answer any questions.
So there'll be two separate motions.
Yes.
Then. Okay. Do I have any questions?
Yes. Could you go back to the fire reserves and the vehicle and equipment replacement, increased baseline funding to $130,000. Now, that does not buy us a new fire truck. So this is a baseline reserve that we have in case something goes wrong, emergency with a vehicle, that kind of thing.
No, this is actually for our sinking fund.
Okay.
This is amending the amount that we upped it during our budget process, because when we were looking at what it would take to replace a fire truck, for instance,
right,
we knew that the level that was in the policy wasn't enough to keep up with the inflation that we were seeing in the vehicle market.
So
this is to build our reserves for all our fleet, fire fleet. And this was just memorializing in the policy that we had made that change during the last budget process.
$130,000 a year.
Yeah. That was going to be my clarification.
Sorry. Yeah, I guess
annually we're putting $130,000 yes. toward the vehicle replacement fund.
Yes.
Okay. That was my question.
Okay. Should have put per year.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, we'll go to public comment. Anybody in the boardroom wants to speak, step up to the podium, please.
Richard Margetson. I wasn't going to until Chuck asked that question, but on top of the $130,000, there's an annual increase built in. 5%? We 5%. Put in 5%. So next year it'll go to, and then the so next year.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Thank
5% simple or compounding?
Simple.
Easier.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else in the boardroom? Do you have anybody online, Laura?
No one's raised their hand.
Okay.
I did want to say real quick that
let me close public comment first. All right, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the board.
I did want to say that we're shooting for the February meeting when we do mid-budget review to have recommendations on how to increase this various reserves that we're talking about tonight.
Okay, any further discussion or motion?
I move that the board approve the elimination of the water quality, water conservation, and basin management reserves and direct staff to return at a future meeting just referred to with recommendations for allocating the funds to existing Fund 500 reserve categories.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote, please, Laura?
Yes, Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Vice President Womack.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes. So it passes by the required 4/5 vote.
I'll move that the board adopt resolution 2024-21 amending the district's reserve policies.
I'll second your.
We have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call, Laura, please?
Yes. Vice President Womack.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes. Okay, with that then, that's completed. So we'll move on to item 4B, which is approval of the agreement for general legal counsel services with Richard Watson Gershon. Recommendation from staff is approval of the agreement. Ron, I'll turn it over to you.
Hey, just a real quick presentation on this. As you know, the district conducted a statewide search. We had a recruitment for general counsel. We had quite a few proposals submitted. We interviewed 4 final candidates on November 24th. The final selection was made by the board of directors and reported out of the closed session at the conclusion of our closed session to select general counsel, and the board selected Richard Watson Gershon and Craig Steele will serve as the named general counsel. And that is my presentation. Any questions?
Excuse me. Is there any questions? Yeah, I think we also, just for background information, we did have an ad hoc committee of Matthew and myself that did the original vetting of the applicants. Okay, we'll go to public comment then on item 4B.
If you're online, raise your hand.
If you're in the room, step up to the podium. I have nobody, Laura.
There's none online.
Okay, we'll close it public comment and bring it back to the board for a further discussion or a motion.
I'll move that the board approve the agreement with Richards, Watson, and Gershon and authorize the board president to execute said agreement.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call, Laura, please?
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Vice President Womack.
Yes.
President Ohilski.
Yes.
And if I could make a quick comment here, I do really want to thank Daniel and Ty Green for their service. It's been a rough year. And so thank you very much.
Yeah, I was going to just piggyback on that too. I know that ever since we've been dealing with the flooding and the FEMA, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the fire department back fees, that they've been involved intimately with the district. So I wanted to thank them for their service, and particularly you and Mr. Green. I will too. All right. Thank you very, very much. So with that, then we'll move on to item number 5, which is public comment for items not on the agenda. If you have a comment for items not on the agenda, please step up to the podium. And if you're online, raise your hand.
I have one online.
Okay, thank you. Richard?
Richard Margetson, just another announcement about needs and wishes. The 14th, I think everybody's already got a flyer. If you don't, oh yeah. There is one change on the flyer. At the bottom, it says the first $10,000 in donations will be matched dollar for dollar by a generous Needs and Wishes supporter. We had another supporter come through this week and has added $2,000 to that total. So $12,000 in potential matching funds, but it's got to get matched. This year, the other change is we're going to see how it works. We're giving free hot dog to each attendee. You get a little ticket at the door and take it to the, if you want a free hot dog. We may have made a mistake, but we'll find out. I told Jimmy T-Catch to be ready, and he's the gentleman who cooks the hot dogs and hamburgers. The other thing is, and I've mentioned this, I think, at every meeting, I'm hearing from some of the agencies that there's going to be a great need for toys this year. We have the Operation Santa Claus barrels at the event. We have toys in the toy store. If you buy the toy from us instead of Walmart or Target, we get the money. It goes to the two charities, and the toy goes in the barrel. So it's double the bang for your buck. We should easily be able to sell out the toy store. Most years we do before the event's over, but some years we haven't. And then we've had some generous donors come through on Monday or Tuesday and buy the rest of them, put them in the barrel. But the taiko drummers, everybody's been asking me, the Japanese taiko drummers, Ichimi Daiko, 2 o'clock. For those of you that were there last year, they blew the doors off.
They do that every year.
Yeah. Last year was exceptional. And we have a duo, a guitar and a vocalist duo at 3:30. And I'm still waiting to hear on another entertainment. But anyway, after the parade, and I know Marshall's going to talk about the parade because Gary's not here in the room. So you can have the whole thing tonight.
I do.
And we're going to, Rupert Chowans from the North Clinic and myself are going to be on Dave Congleton's show at 4:30 on Monday. And Rupert's been in contact with KSBY, and they're trying to figure out what day they're going to come out and do a story on the event. So sometime next week, but Congleton 4:30 Monday. Please come. It's a great event. I'm sure Chuck will do some follow-up later.
So. Well, I want you to tell us more about the NOR Clinic, because I have outdated information. This is from 2016 or so, about the number of people they serve, the way they leverage money, and the fact that Los Osos contributes enough to really take care of the coast.
Before we go on, is it okay with the board if I extend his public comment?
Yes.
Okay. The clock's not on anyway.
No, I just wanted to... I didn't want to be accused of breaking the rules for you, Richard.
The NOR Clinic was started about a dozen years ago. Dr. Noristani and Rupert Chowans were two of the main founders of the clinic. They wanted it to be a clinic that served the uninsured and the underinsured, and that's what it's remained. Originally, they had a small office and limited staff, but they had, at one point, they had 200 doctors that were volunteering. Dr. Noristani, Rupert's real good at it too, but Dr. Noristani is famous in San Luis for catching people on an elevator at a bus stop, you know, somewhere he can corner somebody and, hey, can I get a day out of the month for you to come in for 3 hours or something? So they have that pretty much covered. They now have moved to a much bigger office. And from their original premise of being just a medical clinic, they now have a dental clinic. They have an eye clinic, which that's Rupert Chowan's specialty. They have also collaborated with 4D Prado and have done eye clinic there. I think they served 268 or something this year, Chuck. Did you hear the number? It was some crazy number in 2 days. fabulous. And this event, we found out at our awards dinner this year, and some of you know this, but Needs and Wishes and People Helping People is the largest non-grant donor to the clinic all time. The grant
category is like the city gives them a grant, the county would, but in the nonprofit and private sector, Needs and Wishes is the largest all-time donor collectively. The original premise of the clinic, because all the doctors were free, was for every dollar donated, they could provide $100 worth of medical care. So over the years that Needs and Wishes has contributed, we've provided equivalent of $20 million worth of medical care on the coast. And for the last few years, we have covered all of the residents of Los Osos, Morro Bay, Cayucas, and Cambria that go to the clinic annually. So it's another reason to come to the event. It's also, you know, this is the season of giving. It's also the season of need. So hope to see you on Saturday.
Thank you.
Thank you. Not this Saturday, next Saturday.
Week from. Week from.
When I talk about the parade, I'll bring that up again, Richard. Okay.
Thank you.
Can I do online?
Yes. Can you do online? You may.
Yes. Lynette, you just have to unmute yourself.
Lynette Tornatsky again with apologies to Troy Gatchell. I was on 4 hours sleep thinking back to the 1970s to my old friend David Gatchell. So Troy, I'm sorry, and thank you again. And also thank you to Richard Margetson for that really detailed description of the Noor Clinic. That I found that really interesting. I'm not sure everybody knows that information, so I'm glad he's spreading the word. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's no other comment online.
I have nobody in the boardroom. So at that point, or pardon me, at this point, we'll close public comment for items not on the agenda. We'll move on to item six, the administrative and committee reports. The first item is 6A, the utilities department report.
Projects. Ron, your microphone's muted.
Sorry, thank you. I'll do a quick update on our capital projects. Program C wells moving along very well. If you go by the site, you'll see our building is taking shape. All the plumbing is in, and the electrical will be finished here shortly. So it'll slow down a little bit. Like there's concrete roof that they poured today, has to cure for 2 weeks, that kind of thing. So there's some things that'll slow down. Groundwater monitoring wells, LA 14 and 16, we're scheduled to start those the second week or the week of January 6th. We're gonna have our pre-construction meeting on that coming up next week. So we're excited about getting those in. And then I was gonna talk to you in my GM report, it was both in the utilities and the GM report about the 10th Street tank issues we've run into. Our capital projects, we had money set aside about $150,000 to do the interior. We thought we might have to recode it. The good news is the recoding wasn't as, the interior coding wasn't as bad as we expected, except for the roof. So to do the interior is about $110,000, but we did discover some exterior work that is in much need of repair because of corrosion. The ladder and the guardrails need to be replaced, and that looks like it'll cost about $173,000. And on top of that, our tank specialist, ATS, recommended that we do seismic retrofitting of that tank. It's never been done, and that's about $250,000. So the exterior was unexpected, and of course, the seismic we knew about, but it wasn't really on the radar for making it happen. So what I'm going to do is come back at some point here, and I think we need to proceed with the roof and exterior work, and then budget for a capital project for the seismic in a future year. So we may have to do some shuffling of the current capital project list to make that happen. But I'll come back to the board with some recommendations on
this. Sounds like a place for some excess reserves, maybe.
Well, the excess reserves, I think we're going to kind of getting into it. So we'll take, you know, I think what we'll do is reorder the priority list. And if we have the money as we get down, because really the only one that we would I would recommend delaying is the storage building, and mainly because of the building permit process. And according to the county, which I'll touch on here in a minute about the habitat conservation plan status, there probably won't be any permits really moving forward till middle of 2025 anyway.
Yeah.
So anyway, we could move that one down the priority list, move the tank project up, and then use any reserves we have. So anyway, I did want to give a quick update on the habitat conservation plan status. We had
I had a question on utilities department report. And I've thought of this before, but I haven't brought this up. But where the charts are, what I think would be more helpful would be to have 13 months so you could compare.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Take note, Margaret.
Oh, yeah. Wait, no, I'm wrong. There it is. I'm sorry. I messed up.
Oh, okay.
It's already there. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, now we can go on to general manager's report. I apologize, Margaret.
When I wrote this, I have more recent information. We had a meeting with county planning on what's going on with the habitat conservation plan. They've reworked it. It's supposed to be on the agenda. It is on the agenda for December 10th. So there'll be quite a discussion, not only on that, but some of the other comments made way back on October 29th. But they're going to scale down the funding, initial funding request, and phase it in. The actual community plan amendments that were approved are going to the Coastal Commission on December 11th as a consent item. So that will be, the community plan will be adopted by the, or approved by the Coastal Commission on December 11th. So that piece is moving forward. Growth management ordinance is in place. Because of the action they took back in October. So it's going to take a little bit of time, it sounds like, for the HCP program to be up and running. They have to contract with the Land Conservancy. They have to hire a staff person in planning and building to help administer the program. So they're anticipating a very slow rollout in 2025 for any permits. Any questions on that? And then finally, I wanted to talk a little bit about the FEMA Cal OES process we've been going through. I know Director Fourcroy has brought this up a few times about creating a funding plan on how we're going to do. So I wanted to kind of update you on where we're at and then how I see this kind of rolling out. Amazingly, it looks like the FEMA process, at least the submittal has been made. It still needs to be reviewed, and we don't know how much time that could take. That could take months. But my work on that part is done. We finally got coordination. We were held up for like 3 months between U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and in the Environmental Historical Preservation Division of FEMA. But finally, we've come to resolution, and it's between them. It wasn't anything that the district hadn't completed. So we're at least have something submitted, and it's kind of wait and see mode at this point. On the other hand, Cal OES, that's a competitive grant funding program. It's FEMA money, but administered by the state through California, you know, Office of Emergency Services. So it's a separate application. I've got the application 99% done. I'm hopefully going to have it done by tomorrow and today for submittal for initial review. But that is going to take up to 2 years to be funded. So we're really kind of looking at timing. The FEMA project could probably happen sooner than the Cal OES project. Not ideal, but that looks how it might, looks like it might unroll or unfold. So what my plan was is to, once everything's submitted and we know that the budgets are in and we know the cost share versus what can be covered by these grant funds, look at what the difference is and look at our cash flow from how money will come in, because FEMA money will come in first because we've already expended over $600,000 and we should get 75% reimbursement on part of it and 100% on a very small part of it. So we'll have cash coming in, and so that will allow us to cost share on the other permanent repairs. I'll lay this out in a more coherent manner, but basically what I'm saying is I want to understand what the potential income we can get from grant funding before we start trying to figure out what we need to do as a district to fund the balance.
Makes sense.
So that should come soon, you know, hopefully get these applications completed and we can start talking about that. And with that, I can answer any questions.
Any questions about those items? I have a question about a different item that's not on your report, but you may want to talk a little bit about that headline article in the Tribune, because I've had a lot of people asking me about that. So,
interesting you should say something about that. 2 days ago, I got a voicemail from Carver Hall's office saying they needed to talk to me and they had some good news. And I haven't been able to get a hold of that individual since. So I'm not sure what the news is, but it sounded positive. Is it a lot or some? I'm not sure.
Just talk about what the $8 million was for?
I'm sorry, yes. A little background. About a year ago, I put in a proposal for $8 million to help pay for our intertie project to the Chorro Valley Pipeline. Worked through the proposal with Carver Hall's legislative aid staff. They're very supportive. In July, we made some revisions to it so it could progress. They actually revised the bill to up the amount that was in the original bill to the $8 million. So it went through all the committees. It went through actually the vote now in the House and the Senate. The final step is the actual appropriation, and that's what we're waiting for.
Okay, thank you. I've had a number of people ask me about that, so I thought that would be helpful. Kind of
anxious about it.
I'm sorry, I brought
it. I thought it was pretty much a long shot, but.
Does anybody else have any questions for Ron? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the Chamber of Commerce report, which I will talk a bit about here. There's a written report, which is our flyers, but I want to talk about it. So we have three events coming up. The first event is this Saturday, the 7th of December. It's the tree lighting. We're doing the tree lighting differently this year. We're doing it down in downtown Baywood. We've already put up the tree on Palisades and Los Sosos Valley Road, if you drive by there. But we're going to have a very, very active event going on down in Baywood. There'll be refreshments, stories, pictures with Santa Claus, a lot of things going on in the Baywood Inn patio area there. And then the tree lighting will be across the street. And the purpose of the stop signs was so when we're walking across the street with the children, we can stop the traffic because we're not closing the roads off. But that's going to run from 4 to 6 4 to 6 on Saturday. So if people are interested, particularly with children coming, it would be very, very nice. Like I said, we're going to have refreshments. We're going to have pictures with Santa Claus. We're going to have storytelling. We're going to have singing. So it's going to be a very, very nice event. But this will be our first year transitioning from the corner of Palisades and Los Sosos Valley Road to downtown Baywood. The goal is eventually to have this similar to like Oktoberfest, not the whole day, but have it much, much more interactive with the community. The next thing is the parade, which, as Richard mentioned, is on the 14th. One of the things about the, which is a week from Saturday, but one of the things that we're going to have is, it says in the flyer that it starts at 9 o'clock, but the parade physically starts at 10, but there's entertainment out there. And then there's the pancake breakfast put on by the Kiwanis. So we just wanted to make sure people were aware of that. So it will go down to the community center. We will give the awards for the entrance at the community center after the parade's over, and then meld right into People Helping People event. And the one other thing that's going on is that There's Light Up Los Osos, which is occurring this whole month. And basically we're going to be doing judging for people's decorations and then give awards. In the past, we've given 18th Street an award for what they do over there. So if you have any questions about the Light Up Los Osos, you can look on the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce website. So those are the updates on that. And the theme for this year's parade is Berry Mary. But when you think of it, Berry, it's not B-E-R-R-Y. It's B-E-A-R-Y. So it's the Los Osos Bear, Berry Mary. So anyway, so that's the Chamber of Commerce report, which is in addition to the flyer that you have in the staff report. Okay, then we'll move on to Utility Advisory Committee report. Chuck?
Yeah, in addition to the capital project updates, the big item on the agenda at our last UAC meeting was an update to our intent or will serve policies. We got to find more things for Ron to do. He found another policy that hadn't been updated since prior to 2005. I know that. It was an old one.
It's an old 2002, I think it was.
And with the county's approval and the Coastal Commission's approval of the community plan, we thought it would be a good time to look at our policies and be ready. So Ron coordinated with the county and kind of worked out a process that'll be easier for applicants. It gets tricky when it's time for permits because everybody wants to be the last. Nobody wants to be the first. You've got to have some intent to start the ball rolling. And our past policies required the board, I think, to vote on every intent to serve. Not a will serve, it was an intent to serve. And that seemed cumbersome with the projections coming from the growth management ordinance. We thought it would be wise to maybe just have a process in place so that single family residences could be moved forward with at least an intent to serve. Not the final will serve, but an intent to serve, just from the general manager.
Right. And I was going to two-step it with the utility advisory. We just talked about it, got a good input, and then I'm going to frame it up hopefully for their December meeting. I got to get on that, and then bring it to the board for discussion.
I'll sit down and talk with you about the one question I had.
Okay.
That was the big thing that we talked about.
Okay. Thank you. So we'll move on to the Financial Advisory Committee report.
So the big news is we had a clean audit with no findings. So I want to give a shout out to our staff, Ron, Adrian, Laura,
Margaret,
Alicia. It's a
group effort.
Running really smoothly. And yeah, I'm very proud of that because that's not always been our history. So, and then the committee recommended approving the warrant register and receiving and filing the financial reports.
And the audit will be coming to the board in January.
Yeah, that was very, very good presentation by the auditor. Very, 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 very clean.
And detailed. They went down to detail what the differences were.
Yep.
Boring is good when it comes to audits and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Definitely.
We had a much improved financial position.
Okay, Emergency Service Advisory Committee meeting. Mr. Gatchell's not here, and I didn't know he wasn't going to be here, so I'm not prepared to give that report.
I'll talk real quick. You know, we talked normal items, budget, kind of because it's a quarterly meeting, quarterly update from, Battalion Chief Province gave. The main thing is I'm starting to roll out the Emergency Services Strategic Plan. I've got three sections, basically, that are just, you know, the introduction purpose, the one that deals with the Station 15 upgrades, you know, from the condition assessment report, and then the standard of cover about deployment of employees and the recommendations made by the consultant there. The key piece missing is the financial aspect of it. Last night while I was here with waiting for the LOCAC transportation meeting to be over, we let them use our boardroom. I started digging into that part and building the financial side. So it's gonna take a little bit to get through those, but I've built a spreadsheet to help with the 5 to 10 year projections. So I'll have that for ESAC in February, and then we'll start talking about that as a board, because there's gonna be some big decisions to be made with the escalating costs we're seeing. So they previewed the first three sections, and then there's three more to go.
Okay, thank you. Okay, BMC, there's a verbal report.
Budget. We talked a lot about budget. Some wandering into the weeds about detail in the Confluence, our executive director's billings. And I know there's more. There was... process for allocating state water within the county and how that's going to work. I mean, we're talking about a pipeline, and we need to be aware of just how that allocation works. And so,
thank you for reminding me. County Public Works has a draft state water policy update circulating right now. I definitely am going to comment on it. It's very rough draft, and there's a lot of holes in it. So anyway, as that comes, there's a few more meetings. There's time on that. It's not going to be acted on until like February or March. I'll update the board on that policy and how it could impact us.
All right. Any other meetings that anybody would like to report on? Okay, you have anything, Chuck? No. All right, so we'll move on to responses to previously asked questions. I don't believe
none, there was... except for trying to address the Cabrillo Basin funding.
Okay, thank you. All right, so we'll take public comments. Well, first of all, does anybody have an item on the consent agenda they want to poll? Okay, seeing none, then we'll take public comments for items on the administrative and committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand.
If you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. I have nobody, Laura.
There's none online.
Okay. I guess, can I make this motion for the last time?
You should.
Yes. I'll go ahead and move then that the board go ahead and receive and file the administrative and committee reports and approve the consent agenda.
Well done, Marshall. I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Laura, can we just have a roll call, please? I just like to do that.
Of course. President Ohulski.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Forcroy.
Yes.
Vice President Womack.
Yes.
Okay, so we don't have any pulled consent items. So number 9 will pass future agenda items. Does anybody have anything they'd like to discuss for future agenda items?
They keep finding us.
All right, then closing board comments, please.
So to celebrate Marshall, I made a cake, and everyone's welcome to come have some after the meeting.
You made that?
I did. I made it today.
Thank you.
Is he going to share?
That's why I said when she came in, I didn't want her dumping it on my head. You know? You have anything, Chuck?
Of course. I'm going to one last plug for the needs and wishes. benefit at the community center right after the parade on the 14th. I want to say a little bit about people helping people. They're one of the key nonprofits around here. They're the only one with an office actually at the community center, and that's because they were foundational in getting the center built. A big supporter from the beginning. Some of the things that they do, Wednesday, the weekly food distribution, they go out and round up food from surplus from grocery stores, Baywood Farmers Market, the food bank in SLO, and it's right here on Wednesdays at the community center. They also loan out medical equipment, anything that's non-motorized, almost anything that's non-motorized. So crutches, that kind of thing, walking boots, it's there for a temporary loan. They also organize the Salvation Army bell ringers. You've seen us out there this time of year. And we always come in first or second in terms of communities within the county, in terms of what we raise. Consider we're not one of the bigger communities, I think that's pretty special. So last year, Needs and Wishes raised $61,000, over $61,000, with no overhead for the SLO-NOR Clinic and 40 Prado Homeless Services Center. Wonderful work that they do, no overhead. It's a wonderful event, silent auction items for everyone. The toy store you heard about, free hot dog this year. A little bit more about people helping people. Remember last year, we had 2 years ago, almost 2 years, the storms that devastated our community. The Digging Deep concert at the community center, people helping people was a big part of that. That raised $46,000 toward help there, but people helping people on their own, from their own reserves, donated another $64,000. To that effort to help the people up in those neighborhoods. That's pretty impressive. So I just want to say thank you to People Helping People for putting on the Needs and Wishes. It's going to be a great time right after the parade. And I like your idea of moving the tree lighting down to Baywood. I think that's a wonderful, corner of Palisades, it's a noticeable corner, but it's not much fun to hang out there. I think moving to Baywood will make that a community event, and that's a wonderful thing. So happy holidays. They're here.
Yep. So I don't have anything to say other than thank everybody for all your appreciation and working with me over the past 16 plus years. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and adjourn and give the...
Oh, thank you.
Pass on the power here. My last adjournment.
Wow. 16 years.
No.